From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message called The Curse of the Law, the fourth in a series of studies in the law of God. The text is Galatians 3, verse 10, For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. First, we've seen the law exposes sin for what it really is. Then, the law condemns sinners for their sin, for all who fail to render a complete and perfect obedience are under God's curse. Furthermore, the law condemns sinners for seeking salvation by partial obedience, trying somehow to put God under obligation to them by what they do. The Scripture states that the law of God commends and accepts perfect obedience. Yet, who can say that he or she has perfectly obeyed God's law? In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue this message. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning. This morning's text comes from Lamentations, chapter 3, and verse 41. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heavens. The act of prayer teaches us our unworthiness, which is a very salutary lesson for such proud beings as we are. If God gave us favors without constraining us to pray for them, we should never know how poor we are. But a true prayer is an inventory of wants, a catalogue of necessities, a revelation of hidden poverty. While it is an application to divine wealth, it is a confession of human emptiness. The most healthy state of a Christian is to be always empty in self and constantly depending upon the Lord for supplies, to be always poor in self and rich in Jesus, weak as water personally, but mighty through God to do great exploits, and hence the use of prayer, because while it adores God, it lays the creature where it should be, in the very dust. Prayer is in itself, apart from the answer which it brings, a great benefit to the Christian. As the runner gains strength for the race by daily exercise, so for the great race of life we acquire energy by the hallowed labor of prayer. Prayer plumes the wings of God's young eaglets, that they may learn to mount above the clouds. Prayer girds the loins of God's warriors, and sends them forth to combat with their sinews braced and their muscles firm. An earnest pleader comes out of his closet, even as the sun arises from the chambers of the east, rejoicing like a strong man to run his race. Prayer is that uplifted hand of Moses which routs the Amalekites more than the sword of Joshua. It is the arrow shot from the chamber of the prophet, foreboding defeat to the Syrians. Prayer girds human weakness with divine strength, turns human folly into heavenly wisdom, and gives to troubled mortals the peace of God. We know not what prayer cannot do. We thank Thee, great God, for the mercy seat, a choice proof of Thy marvelous loving kindness. Help us to use it aright throughout this day.
Oh!
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the LTBSradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
What is God's law for the sinner? It's a law of death. He wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 3, and he said, the letter killeth, Again, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I do need to say that there are so many superficial preachers running around telling you that Paul means that strict compliance with the Scripture is a deadly thing, and really you should come and have a very loose compliance. That's not what he's talking about. When he says, the letter killeth, in context he's saying, the law. That's the letter of the law he's talking about. The law killeth. He calls it the ministration of death. He calls it the ministration of condemnation. It is a law of death. As he wrote to the Romans, the wages of sin is death. That death is real. I want you to understand that. This is the curse of God's law. That death is real. That death is personal. That death is total, physical, spiritual, and then eternal. Remember those terrible words of Revelation 20 when John in vision saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. The books were opened. Men on earth may shut the book of God's law and live their lives in total defiance of that law. But hear me well, my friend. There is going to come a day when God will open the book and no man will shut it. The books were opened and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. He describes how the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and hell, or death and the grave, delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to the works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is what? The second death. This is the law of death executing its curse. The law exposes sin for what it is. The law condemns sinners for their sin. Never fall for the devil's lie that because God is a God of love, he will abrogate his law and he will never condemn sinners. The law condemns sinners for their sin. But I need to point out a third thing in dealing with the curse of the law, that the law condemns sinners for seeking salvation by partial obedience to it. You see, as I pointed out at the beginning, there's something that comes very natural to every man, and that is to do something. To do something, to put God under obligation to him and earn his way to heaven. Men talk glibly about keeping the Ten Commandments, living by the Ten Commandments, or living by the Sermon on the Mount, or living by the example of Jesus, or doing something or other. What they're talking about is rendering at best a partial obedience to God's law. I could prove from Scripture that a partial obedience to God's law is a total disobedience to God's law. I want you to understand that. Partial obedience to the law of God is in reality total disobedience to God's law. And that's why the law of God condemns men for trying to be saved by partially obeying the law. We read tonight in Galatians 3:11 that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Paul puts it this way in Romans 8 verse 3. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Now let's stop there. What the law could not do. The Greek text actually says the impossibility of the law, or the inability of the law, or you might translate it the powerlessness of the law. What is it that it's impossible for the law to do? What is it that the law has absolutely no power to perform? Well, Paul tells you here in Romans chapter 8, and it is to set sinners free from condemnation. You can say, I'm going to try to obey God's law. You'll not free yourself from condemnation that way. Can't do it. Because remember what I've said. Every partial obedience is a total disobedience. So that even your attempts to save yourself by the law end up damning yourself more and more comprehensively as a lawbreaker. The law can only do one thing to a sinner. Only one thing. And that is condemn him. The law can do absolutely nothing else. It is powerless to do anything for a sinner but expose his sin and condemn his soul. If that were all the Bible had to say about the curse of the law, we would live in a sad, sad world indeed. I want you to stop there. The curse of the law is something real. It is something terrible. It is something truly awful. The curse of the law. The very words should chill your heart. They reveal the face of a frowning deity, of an offended God, of a wrathful judge. The curse of God's law. But I have one thing more to say about the curse of the law. This is the light at the end of the tunnel. The law commends and accepts perfect obedience. That's the implication of our text. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. The implication is, blessed is everyone that continues in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. And I know that implication is just because didn't we read in Romans chapter 7 that the law was ordained to life? The law was ordained to life. We have in the Bible reading tonight a quotation from Leviticus 18 and verse 5 that the man that doeth the commandments shall live in them. When the rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus wanting to know what to do to be saved, what did Jesus say? You know the commandments. Now the Lord Jesus was not saying do your best to fulfill the commandments and you'll be saved. What he was saying is what Paul later said, if there ever was a law given that could do men good, this is that law. Its tendency is to life. It is a law that commands obedience. It is a law that accepts perfect obedience. The tragedy is that in men it never finds it. Where can the law find one who has perfect obedience? Where can the law find one who is free from the guilt of Adam's first transgression? Where can the law find one who is sinless in nature, sinless in principle, and sinless in practice? Is there such an one? Bless God, there's one. There's only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus. He is the one. God said, "This is my beloved Son. In Him I am well pleased." The law of God searches out the thoughts of Christ, the feelings of Christ, the motions of the soul of Christ, the words of Christ, the deeds of Christ, the inner man and the outer man. And the law of God stands forth with the verdict: God is well pleased. Here is the perfect man. The Psalm 37 says, "Mark the perfect man." Well, here we mark him. The law of God marks him as such and pronounces blessings on his head. Blessed is the one who continues in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. What's the story of the life of Christ? It is the story of his continuing in all things that God wrote in the book of the law to do them. It is the story of perfect, impeccable, sinless, spotless obedience to God's law. It is the story that Jesus expressed in the words, "I do always those things that please God." So Christ is blessed. We read tonight of the blessing of Abraham. That really is the blessing of Christ pronounced on Abraham. If there were any way for sinners to be united to this one, accepted by God by the standards of the law, if there were any way for sinners to be made partakers of his divine nature, if there were any way for sinners to be invested with his righteousness, then those sinners would stand blessed and accepted before the holy law of God. And bless God, that's what the gospel of Christ is all about. That is the very point of the gospel. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.